If you this morning have your Bibles, and I want to turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's not John 3:16, it's Acts 24. Acts 24. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able, you don't have to, but if you would like to, we just honor the Word of God this morning. And I'd like to read the first verse, you the next verse, me the next one, you the next one, till we get down to verse 27 on that. And we'll start at verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee."
He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him.
But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound.
Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time that we can gather here. Sure have enjoyed the fellowship, have enjoyed the singing. And Lord, just makes me glad that I'm a child of yours. And our Father here today, I realize that not everybody in this room can enjoy the things of the spiritual realm that we enjoy in our relationship with you. But we pray this morning that, Lord, that you would just simply open hearts and minds to be able, Lord, to have the faith to look unto you and to realize that you're our hope. You're the one that, Lord, that we have put our eternal destiny upon. And we do thank you for the blood this morning. Surely, Lord, without the shedding of blood, there'd be no remission of sin. Thank you for being willing to go to that old cross. And there, Lord, to give your life and to take our sin debt upon you and pay our Father for our sins. Now, Father, here this morning, I realize that the Holy Spirit of God must speak through me. I have no wisdom of my own. Lord, thou knowest that I need your help. And I lean upon you this morning to speak to your people. You know what they need. And Lord, I cannot be able to give from my understanding. But Lord, you are omniscient, you're omnipresent, you're all powerful. And I pray today that you would work and give these folks something in their hearts, in their minds today, that would be a help to them as we draw, Lord, near to the coming to see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. You may be seated. I know that you probably have encountered a lot of men like Felix. You probably, through your course of your life, you may have identified with Felix because of your procrastination as well. Some people are the world's worst to procrastinate. Why, there is, I think, a procrastinator's club where everything can be put off. And these verses that we have read here, Felix was a great procrastinator. He put off Jesus. And by all accounts, that Felix died lost. How terrible that is to learn that anyone has gone out into eternity with no hope. The Bible, though, is you find tells us that he simply waited too long and died before he had accepted the Lord. The Bible is full of stories about men who put off Jesus until the 11th hour. Some finally they make Jesus a savior. Others died without him. You know the story of the two thieves on the cross, and they down to their last day of life. And as they hung on the cross, one on each side of the Lord. You know, the one said, "Lord, if you be God, come down and save us. The other one said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And we know the answer to that, that the Lord told that fella, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You find that another account in the Bible of a rich ruler. And he was prospering quite well, wasn't he? He said, man, I got to have some more rooms to put my crops and stuff in. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And then I'm going to fill them up and I'm going to go to Florida and I'm going to go fishing and you get out of the cold and out of the rain. And someone called yesterday, said, hey, it's only 80 degrees down here. Don't you? Oh, well, I would just like to have said something bad to them. But anyway, he said, I got big plans to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm a prospering pretty good, and I'm going to save, and what I've got, I'm going to leave it to those who behind. And we all are striving to leave something behind, and you're going to leave something behind. Most of it's going to be debt, maybe, but you're going to leave something behind. But the Lord had something different for that guy, didn't he? He said, today thou shalt be with me. No, today thy soul shall be required of thee. We have, through the week, if you have been watching any news, if you're familiar with anything, you've seen that death has come upon a lot of people through our country. They are really advertising those that are dying now. The virus has really, whether you have it or not, you're going to get accused of it. And a lot of folks into that are dying with the virus. And I talked to a fellow yesterday who said that they had three this week. It's real, isn't that? And I said, into that, do you know their eternal destiny? I said, yesterday, with a funeral service yesterday. And in the same thing with that, to people not expecting to die. Death is very much real around us. But I don't want to talk about death. I want to talk to you that are alive today. And if you're viewing us by means of a live stream, we'll talk to you as well today. Into that here is something that we need to understand, that there's folks today that have procrastinated, they have put off as Felix. And you find that one of the worst decisions that any person could ever make is to put off accepting Jesus as Savior. If one waits too long, they are bound to cross one of God's three designated deadlines. And I want to talk about God's deadlines that you've got to face. These appointments have been set in your life, and there is no way to avoid them. Now, we have an appointment coming up pretty soon here. Now, we've got a voting appointment. If you want to vote, there's an appointment. The 3rd of November is the last day to vote. There's an early appointment at times that you can go and vote early. A lot of people are going out into eternity early. Amen. A lot of people are not going out before the appointed time, seemingly. But any of these could be crossed. These appointments could be crossed today. And to cross any one of these, whether without Jesus, is to be eternally damned. God has fixed these dates. They are coming, and there are appointments that you will keep. And the question before you today is this. Is your eternal soul worth delaying your salvation? It is dangerous to delay your salvation to the 11th hour. I want to give you three reasons why. And if you have never called on Jesus to save your soul, then this could be the most important message that you have heard. Now, I know I'm talking to most of you that you have already met that deadline. And most of you maybe said it here this morning. Say, preacher, I'm not concerned about death, but I've got peace and I'm at rest. But Felix here, the fellow here he's come to said, hey, I want to talk to Paul. He's heard about Paul. Paul's been in jail, and he's heard about the ruckus that has followed Paul. He wants to talk to Paul. And he's this fella here. He is married to Drusilla. Drusilla is the daughter of Agrippa, who had James killed and had Peter put in jail. She's a young Jewish woman. And she has taken up with Felix, and they've had a relationship, and now they're both here before Paul. Now, Felix knew about Christianity. He knew by being here a Jew, by being with a disciple, you know they have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard about him going to the cross. They have heard about his death. They have heard about his triumph over the cross. And Paul, they want to talk to him about his faith. Now, what if somebody called you in and said, hey, Jimmy, I want to talk to you. I want to hear about your faith in the Lord. What would you tell them? Well, most of the Christians today, a contemporary Christian wouldn't have a whole lot to say about that. They would talk about the good works. They'd talk about what they've done, what they haven't done, what they need to do. But I'm talking to you today about if somebody called you in and said, I want to hear about your faith in Christ. I want you to tell about that. And you got folks around you. What would you say? Could you be able to say and look somebody square in the face and eye to eye and say, hey, I love Jesus Christ. I have accepted him as my Savior. I know that him that he died for me. I know that I have my sins forgiven. I know that I live in him, and I know that he is abides with me, and I know that I'm not ashamed. We talked in the Sunday school this morning that the disciples, after the feeding of the 5,000, and they went out and they went over on the other side, and Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And they got across, going across the sea. And boy, the sea became a storm, came raging, and they began to roll, and they began to fight the waves, and they began to try to get to the other side. Now, some of you are doing the same thing in your physical life today, and says spiritually, you're fighting to trying to get through life. You're trying to get to where that you can to be able to have the peace and to be able to know. But hey, there was no peace on that boat until Jesus got on it. And when he got on it, the waves ceased, the storm quit raging, and they got to the other side safely. Now listen, let me say to you today, if you've not been saved, that storm that's raging in you, he can settle the storm. He can calm the waves. He can give to you the peace that you need and to be able to get you, deliver you to the other side. People say, well, I believe. Are you acting on your belief? A lot of people say, I believe, but they don't act on that. A lot of people going out into eternity believing there's a God, believing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, believing that he probably could save him if I asked him, but putting it off, procrastinating. The dateline is coming one day to her that you're going to be too late. One of the problems that you're going to find in is that Jesus, the hour of Christ's destined return, Jesus could return at any time. You put in off. You say, I believe. I believe that Jesus, I believe that the Bible. I believe that things are getting worse. I believe that this whole world is tilting the wrong way. I believe that the Bible is fulfilling and saying that the Lord could come at any time. And by the way, it is. Things are growing worse. The things are not getting better. And at any time, the Lord could return. Are you going to wait too late? Are you going to wait too late? The Bible teaches us that there's a dateline. The Bible teaches us that one day the trump is going to sound and the dead in Christ are going to be raised and we that are alive are going to be caught up. And if you have not had the blood upon your doorpost, you're going to be left behind. And we see the Antichrist getting prepared and getting ready to come in and to be the Prince of Peace, to be the one who's going to be able to give peace to those that for just a little while. But could I say to you today, don't wait too late. The hour is into that. You find in that in 1 Thessalonians, here he said that the dead in Christ are going to be raised. Would you fulfill that? If that no one on earth knows the hour. Mark, Jesus talking to Mark, said not even the angels in heaven know when that hour is coming. We don't know what day it is, but we know it's a coming. Jesus said that when you see these signs to be able to take place, to know that your redemption draweth nigh. Young people, are you listening this morning? Are you listening? It's going to affect you just as much as us older people.
That's right.
Into that, there's going to be no respecter of persons. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either going up or you're going to stay. Yes. And if you stay, you're going to be able to probably end up in a place that you don't want to go. The dateline into that. No one on earth knows. But I tell you, you take the Noah. There was a date for the flood had been set. And Usher's chronology says that it was May the 17th, 2448 B.C., but no one who died in it knew when that date was a coming. Only God knew. And it wasn't expected, but he came anyway, and you need to get things right for the flight now. And so I say to you into that today that Jesus, that date is coming. The date has been set for the return of the Lord in the clouds to take his children out and to call the church out. Come up hither. Boy, what a day that'll be, won't it? Yeah. Oh, my soul. If you know the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord, you long for that day to come. When we get to my soul anymore, when you get my age, everything begins to hurt. You say, oh, boy, I'd be glad to get that glorified. But I sure am glad I'm saved. I sure am glad that I paid over $200 for a chiropractor to beat and bang upon me. And he has got nothing has helped me on that but to get him my money. I said, boy, I'd be glad when I get a new body. I won't have to be picked on like that. But what I'm saying is, are you ready? Some good advice to that, do it today. I wouldn't take all the money in the world for that assurance.
Right.
Do you know to being prepared and knowing, Lord, if you come today while you're sitting here, it could take place. I don't know. I know this, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. I know it was in the days of Lot. And you look around and you see that we're striving and living in those conditions that they lived in. Today, we got the average Christian today no longer believes in the coming of the Lord. They don't no longer have any. There's no urgency that the Lord may come. We don't. We got to lock down here with a virus all around the world. It didn't take much to get the world to come down to order, did it?
Nope.
It didn't take much to get the world's attention, did it? And now that we've got it, if you say, boy, the thing just keeps us spreading. It ain't getting better. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to elect Trump president and everything's going to be all right. No, you're not. I mean, he may get elected president, but it ain't going to be all right. Let me say to you, the only thing that's going to make it all right is when Jesus comes and gets us out of here. On that, that's when it gets all right. On that, now there's some good things to be take place. But hey, I'm looking for the Lord to come and to take me out. I'm looking for to hear that trumpet, and I'm waiting for that. Then there's the time of the dateline of your death. It is still appointed unto you once to die. And after that, the Bible says the judgment. Now listen, Felix stood before Paul and Drusilla, and Paul began to preach unto them about righteousness. Oh, could I say to you today, into that, if you got down to it, what about your life? Are you living right? What is in your life today that you get to start to put it up against the Word of God, is it going to stand? But we get to Christians today living like the devil and into that, and living like how they want to live. And the Bible says that we are to live righteously. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And we get to where that we just take things as they come. It don't bother me if somebody opens up a beer joint down on downtown on Main Street. It don't bother me if Mike gives a city having whatever festival they have down there. That's maybe not right, but he don't. No, I'm not talking about that. But what I'm saying is that we don't care anymore about some things around us. We don't care about the righteousness of God. And Paul begins to, hey, Felix, it's not right for you to have Drusilla. Uh-oh. She had been married to a Syrian by her brother Agrippa the First, had given her to a Syrian, and she didn't like him. She left him, came up and got with Felix, and he began to talk to them about righteousness. He began to talk to them about judgment and temperance, bringing things in control. We're out of control. We're out of control in our daily life into that. We're out of control in being able to bring this old flesh in submission to the Lord. Temperance. He began to preach to them, and no wonder. I tell you what, if you're sitting there, you'd get to trembling too, wouldn't you? He said, and about the judgment. We don't talk a whole lot about the judgment. Could I say to you as Christians today, you've got to stand before judgment. Could I say to you today as a child of God that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to God how we lived our life. And into that, and we know that the lost people that die without Christ has to stand before the great white throne judgment. And into there, the books will be opened and you'll be judged according to how you live. And you'll spend the rest of eternity in a lake of fire trying to get your sin debt forgiven. Can I say to you today, are you mindful of your death? Are you mindful that when time comes that you stand before the Lord and explain why you wouldn't be saved? What a terrible day. Could I say to you, you're going to die. If you live long enough, you're going to die. I got to thinking about all the people. I got to think about all the old preachers that I used to when I got to first start listening to them. They were young. Now they done got old and died. I read into that. About everybody that I was my heroes have gone now. And so you say, well, boy, I tell you, if Lester Olof dies, well, this Christianity will just have to fold up. I know that if Jack Hiles passes away, the churches will close. I know that some things here that if, whether it be the Falwells or whether it be others, we can't go on. Hey, could I say to you that God's got somebody already, his work is much bigger than man? Could I say to you today that God is still in control of all things? Could I say to you that he won't even be a drop in the bucket when this old boy here hits the last breath? Death. Nobody likes to think about it. And boy, especially if you're not saved here this morning, I say to you, we've been to the funeral home a couple of times this week. Could I say to you, one day the doctor may say, boy, to you, I'm sorry. But he's no hope for him. And some of you right now, you're dealing with the feelings of grief still that you have had for years or two into that because of someone you love. Death is real. Death hurts. Death leaves a void. Death leaves a sting. But what I tell you, I said yesterday to the family there that one of the things that would be a help to you is that this person went out into eternity believing that Jesus was their Savior, believing that that they had a better life ahead of them, not afraid of death. You ought to know the same thing. You ought to be able to say, hey, I know that my sins have been forgiven, and I ought to be able to say that I know that I'll see the Lord one day. And I know that to be absent from the soul body would be with him. Felix trembled. And in the judgment, as he began to talk about, Paul talked to him about the judgment to come. And not only is a judgment of eternity when you die, but boy, I tell you, there's a judgment today. You're going to find that there's things that as a child of God, as a lost person, that you're going to be judged for. You're going to face judgment even through your life. Ask any of us. We can talk to you about some things that we've been judged about. Things that we've had to go through. And so I say to you today, it's a whole lot better to go through them with the Lord on your side. Yeah. It's a whole lot better to go through them when you are in fellowship with God and you know that he is your companion. So could I say to you real quickly here that it could be today. It could be that if there's one chance in a thousand, that today could be that day. Amen. And it sure is spiritual suicide to put it off. Wrecks every day. Floods. Heart keeps it quits beating. Many other things that take you out. Some good advice is to do it today, as Isaiah said. I'm sure that you'd be able to, money couldn't buy your assurance of salvation. What would it take for you to sell out? Felix, you've heard my faith concerning Christ. You've heard about how he changed me. You know, Drusilla, that I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You knew that I obeyed the law and I kept the law, and I persecuted those who said they were Christians. But I'm telling you today that I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he changed my life. Can I say to you today, has he changed your life? Amen. Has he calmed your storms? Has he removed your fears? Has he been able to give you something that you never had before? And then I want to lastly hear the hour of God's deadline. The third hour is the one that you will have, where you will have your last chance to be saved. Genesis 6:3, God said about Pharaoh, let him alone. He's hardened his heart. Hosea talks about Ephraim, said, leave Ephraim alone. He is joined to idols. In Romans 1:26, God gave them up. Romans 1:28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. These verses prove that there is a time when we will have no more in your life, where there is a deadline that if you step over it, and there will be no more hope. Aaron Burr, he cried out to let me alone, God. And God let him alone. When is this deadline? Someday God will write. God will grow weary of begging and pleading, and he will allow you to follow the path that you have chosen and to an eternity in hell. If today could be that day, then you didn't need to do business with God. If you're listening in here this morning, if you hear, and those date lines are going to be coming. One day, it could be today, that Jesus will sound the trumpet and call out his body of believers. Or will you be in that group? One day, the date that has been settled for your death is going to come. I just stopped at gravesite yesterday, and two boys that I never thought when they came into the world that they'd be going out as quick as they did. 27 years old, going out into eternity. We're waiting for that day to be gathered together. I don't know the date that God has assigned for me to die. But I know I've got a date. And I know I'm going to fulfill that date unless the Lord comes. And I know this. I've seen people that have crossed the deadline for God. They have been witnessed to. They have been given the plan of salvation over and over. And they keep rejecting. Oh, I believe, preacher. I believe that Bible. Yes, sir. I was raised to believe that Bible. Will you accept him as your Savior? Well, not today. Not today. I've got to say other things here yet there I want to do. How many has went out into eternity thinking that tomorrow I'll do it? Tomorrow I'll do it. And tomorrow never comes. How many today? How many this morning? Families are sitting around weeping because a loved one went out into eternity, not expecting to go, but because of an accident or because of some other issue. Their date for death came, and they were not ready. Are you ready this morning? As we stand across the auditorium,